Today's November 9th, and we're in the SALT book, the social book, and we're going to look at lesson number two that's entitled Judging Others. And this cycle of judging is something that happens on a pretty regular basis. Did any of you this week, as you were going through your homework, doing those questions, thinking about the pattern of judging others and others judging you, did any of you find that to be a pattern in life this week? I woke up Wednesday morning to going to the office, and there was considerable conversation about our new president-elect. Considerable conversation. And internally, I listened and I found myself loading a number of things that when I get to talk to some of the folks in my family and other folks that are friends of mine that are further to the left and really excited about the victory, of the areas in life that I was going to point out to them that our new president-elect is off on. Did anybody else find themselves in that pattern? You know, I did. I had this whole list. It was kind of like I was loading a clip for a machine gun that if I got the chance to pull the trigger, I was going to be locked and loaded and ready, right? And then in the midst of that, getting a few minutes quiet and alone and remembering this pattern of judging is really not what I'm supposed to be about as a believer, then I internally unloaded all of that ammunition before I pulled the trigger. Which is always better to unload it before you start shooting, because somebody always ends up bloody and messy when you start shooting. But I observed that in my life, in the political arena. And when we first started this discipleship curriculum of SALT, the very first lesson, we talked about the reality that I'm not God. And one of the functions that many of us do when we think we are God is judging. And at that time, we were able to look at that and say, well, that's a problem. Well, today's the day that we not only acknowledge that problem and look at how that problem affects our life, but also look at a practical solution to reverse that problem. Now, not only in the political realm is this a challenge, but in the religious community. This is probably one of the biggest problems with religion on the planet, is judging others. If you take a look at the war on terror and the Islamic radicals that we are at war, their judgment of us is deadly. You either convert to their style of religion or they kill you. That's their style of evangelism. And that's pretty judgmental, isn't it? But if you don't go that far, have you ever been a part of a church or a religious background that encouraged you to judge other people's lives? In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable of this Pharisee and this sinner, this tax collector who goes to church. And the Pharisee stands up and he prays to himself, which is always cute when you read that. He prays to himself, I'm glad that I'm not like these other people. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a crook. You know, I give tithes and offerings, I pray, I observe the Sabbath, I do all these things, so I'm doing really good. And his own righteousness is what he's counting on. And over in the corner, there's someone who's a tax collector and a sinner, and he's beaten on his chest, and he's unwilling to even lift his eyes to heaven, but he humbly says, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner, I need you, God. And Jesus says, now that guy goes home from his prayer time, justified, and the other one doesn't. But oftentimes in the religious setting that you and I live in 2008, the Pharisee-type judgmental thing is what churches do, isn't it? And if we're not cautious and course-correcting our life, as the days go by, we'll do the same thing. We'll look at other people's lives and say, well, I'm not doing as bad as they are. Right? I'd never do what they just did. Well, you know, I'm better than that. Right? That is not the Jesus attitude. That's the judgmental attitude. Here's our key scripture for today. be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. That's out of Luke 36 and 37. So what the Scriptures are telling us, and this is actually in red if you read it in the Bible, that Jesus is speaking this, he says, your Heavenly Father in heaven is merciful. And you should model that mercy. Now, don't judge people, and then you won't get judged. Don't condemn anybody, and you won't get condemned. Give them a pardon, and you'll get a pardon. There's a cause and effect here that's going on in the New Testament that's practical and real. In a general sense, we have the privilege of dictating how God deals with us. If we don't judge people, he won't judge you. We don't condemn people, he won't condemn you. Pardons are really cool things when you're in the criminal justice system. It's like nothing ever happened. And oftentimes in today's court system, you get large cash settlements for the problems that the government has caused you. So pardons are a really good thing. And we want to pardon people. We want to give them the gift. And next week when we talk about forgiveness, we'll practically put some wheels on that. So here I'm going to draw you a judgment cycle. And first thing, I want you to draw a circle and put a numeral one in there. And point number one on there is I see people do wrong things. Now, there is an activity every week when I see people do wrong things. And you probably do too. Some of them are wrong based on my standards. And some of them are actually wrong based on godly standards. I wasn't in California when they voted on the marriage amendment. But I'll almost guarantee that there were Christians in line who were looking at gay people in line who were saying, those people are wrong in the way they live. Could you imagine that happening? Could you imagine that happening if you were there? I'm old enough to know that not that many years ago, to have an African-American president, there was a large population of the people that I worked with at the steel mill who would say that is wrong, right? Now, it's not wrong, it's just the way that it is. I want to remind you that the whole problem of sin that all of us battle with every day was in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve decided they would like to know what was good, what was evil, what was right, what was wrong. They wanted to be able to judge. You're not supposed to. It's not designed within your job class to judge other people's lives. But you will still always see people doing things wrong. It's going to happen. You're going to see people do things wrong. Now, oftentimes what happens when you see people do things wrong, it moves you down to point number two, where I choose. Now, oftentimes what I do here is I choose to judge and condemn. I choose to judge and condemn those people. I see them do something wrong, and my choice, with my free will, is I choose to judge them and condemn them. That's oftentimes what I do, and that's probably what you do too. Now, the deal is, you can choose. You don't have to do that. You are free to choose. God has given you a free will. You can always choose. He won't inhibit your free will, and he won't allow the enemy to inhibit your free will. You can always choose, and as you draw that diagram, that's the important point. What you choose to do with what you see. Now, if I choose to judge them and condemn them, then I quickly move over here to point number three, where I reject them. That's not spelled right, but the word is reject. I reject them once, and I condemn them as doing things that I don't think they should do, even things oftentimes that God says they shouldn't do. I do those things. Now, have you experienced being rejected by people? They see something going on in your life, they judge you for it, and then they reject you. I've been a part of churches before where I would tentatively go to church on Sunday because I have the ability to say and do stupid things. It's just a gift that I have. Not everybody's anointed with this gift, but I have the gift to say and do stupid things. And people oftentimes would corral me or corner me or pin me up against the wall at church on Sunday morning to correct me for the things that I'm doing wrong. And it got to the point that I didn't want to say anything in front of people, you know, because I knew somebody was going to reject me, clobber me. And people would walk by and see them scolding me in the hallway, and it's very embarrassing, you know. But that was a part of the church at large. I am supposed to judge other people's lives. Now, when people get into this cycle of doing that, it doesn't take very long that they see somebody else do something wrong, point number one, and they make the same choice, point number two, to judge them and condemn them, and they end up rejecting them, and they live in this living death cycle of judging people. You're always looking at others, and you're always trying to decide how to judge them and what to do with them. And that's not the pattern that Jesus lived. But it's very often the pattern in the religious community that we live in this day. When you think back on Jesus' life, he was constantly, I mean, those of us who are reading through the New Testament chronologically, it is a daily deal as we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the Pharisees come to test him, or they come to question him. You aren't acting right on the Sabbath. Right? Wasn't that long ago, even in my lifetime, that people lived differently on Sunday than they do in 2008? How many of you can remember that? You know, stores weren't open, restaurants weren't open, gas stations were closed. You know, it was a different, it's not just a different time, it was a whole different world in those days. But like in Jesus' day, that they would judge you for doing things on the Sabbath, or the Sunday, which really isn't the Sabbath. It's really Saturday that's the Sabbath. But and I remember when I first went to work at the steel mill, and they required you to work weekends, that was really a conflict for me because, you know, growing up in the religious world, in the Lutheran church, I mean, you didn't do those types of things. You didn't work on the weekend. And if you did, you got judged. So, as we look at the cycle, I don't want to spend all the time looking at the negative part of it. What I want to do is spend some time looking at the positive side of it. And this part here is always going to happen. You are always going to see people do wrong things. The question is, what do you do with that? Do you continue to walk after your flesh, which is this way, or do you make a choice to walk after God's Spirit, which is the other way? Now, you notice that walking after the flesh leads you to a living death. If you choose to walk after the Spirit, it will lead you to a life rather than a death daily experience. And what happens is when I see people do things, I choose to remember, remember Jesus died for them. If it looks like a text, it is. That is a number four. I remember Jesus died for them. Now, if I'm going to be merciful, as my Heavenly Father is merciful, if I'm not going to judge them because He's not, if I'm going to forgive them because He's forgiven me, if I'm going to pardon them because He's pardoned me, can you see how that's a different choice? I remember Jesus died for them. Jesus died for anyone who will accept the gift of His salvation. He died for them. So at this point in time then, I could choose to remember Jesus died for them rather than judge them and condemn them. Jesus has a famous parable near the end of His life where He's in the temple and they bring a woman to Him who's caught in the act of adultery. Now, why they didn't bring the guy, I don't know, because it usually takes two to accomplish that act. But they didn't bring the guy, they brought the woman. Jesus didn't condemn her, but he didn't condone her activity either. He didn't condemn her, but he didn't condone it either. He said, honey, stop sinning. Don't do that anymore, girl. Now, go ahead and go home. He encouraged her to stop sinning, but he didn't judge her or condemn her. Now, one of the problems that people have in making this choice oftentimes is that if I don't judge them, they're getting away with something. They did something wrong, and they're getting away with it if I don't deal with it. How many of you ever had that thought? Practically, here's the deal. Nobody gets away with anything. Poor grammar, nobody gets away with nothing. Every single act will be taken care of. God doesn't miss a lick. Nobody gets away with anything. God will deal with each event. Now, the deal with you and me is we could choose to remember that Jesus died for them and be on God's side. There's a challenging scripture that Paul writes later on in the New Testament, and we'll get to that in a little bit. He says, pray without ceasing. How many of you ever heard that concept? As Christians, you should pray without ceasing. Well, I get distracted and I stop praying. Maybe you don't do that. But I get distracted. And oftentimes I'll pray in the morning and I'll pray and all of a sudden it'll be 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I sit down for coffee and a time of prayer with the Lord. And I thought, well, where in the world did those 4 hours go? Haven't talked to you about anything. And I thought, Lord, that's really not the way I want to live. Now, here's a helpful reminder. What happens when I see people do things wrong? I choose to pray for them. And if you see as many people doing things wrong as I do, it'll remind you to pray. Rather than judging them, rather than condemning, whether they be family members, whether they be people you work with, whether they just be people out in the public, whether they be in the international media, pray for them. We have a new president-elect. And on all the things we could disagree on, one of the things we could probably agree on is that boy's got a big job. Can you agree on that? It's a big, big mess. And the world is looking to the United States of America for leadership. What can we do? Can we judge him and condemn him? He's not doing the way we want or the way he thinks we should, or he's not the right. We could. Or you know the other thing we could do? We could remember Jesus died for him and pray for him. I actually have this thought that I've kind of got lazy praying for Mr. Bush because you know, I know he's a Christian and I think that probably over the next 4 years I'll pray for the president more. Why? Because I'm going to probably see things in his life and in his administration that I think are the wrong things. Now, are they wrong? No. There's just the way that it is. It's not right, wrong. It's just the way that it is. Not, I don't have to judge him. But what I can do with those things when I see him wrong is I can pray for him. Does that make sense to you? Could you do that? Rather than judge and condemn, pray for him. And when you do that, then that leads us over here to a new number 3 where we experience something different. And right now my mind just went completely blank. I'm supposed to remember what that is. It's written down on my thing here. I respond by accepting them. My response is acceptance. Now, I don't always agree with everybody, but I do accept them and I do exercise the right to pray for them and the freedom to do that. So this is a different way of living that we could live with. We sang several songs this morning and many of us were inspired by the idea of being unified. And see, if we took all of these things that we see people do wrong and we chose to pray for them and accept them, remembering Jesus died for them, that would put us in oneness with God. And it's really what He wants. He really wants us to sit down and talk to Him about the things that we see in the world that are wrong. I think that in the Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, whenever they saw things, they would say, hey, Lord, this, what about this? This is quite interesting. It seems a little off. What do you think about that, Lord? And Jesus would explain to him the why he did it the way he did. Oh, well, I never would have thought of that, sir. But that's the type of the relationship that the Lord Jesus wants to have with you and I. When we see stuff wrong, we don't get upset about it. We walk after the Spirit of God. We love those people. We accept those people. We don't condemn them, but we don't condone it either. But it's not a personal thing where we have to be emotional or attacking about it. We can just honestly express the truth that's in our life without emotion, without attacking them. And the possibility of God using that to change their life is amazing. So that's how you reverse this cycle of judgment, is you make a different choice and you choose to remember Jesus died for him. Same way he died for me. My Heavenly Father is merciful. He's given me mercy. As we read that parable of the guy who was forgiven a lot of money in the New Testament, I'll close with that. That there was a rich guy, and he had a creditor who owed him a whole lot of money. And when he came in, he says, pay up. And the guy who owed him money fell before him. He says, please, please, please forgive me. Don't send me to prison. Don't sell my wife and kids off into slavery. You know, I'll make it right. And the rich guy was gracious. He says, okay, I'll forgive your debt. Shortly thereafter, that guy who was forgiven found somebody in the marketplace who owed him a day's wages. Grabbed him by the throat, shook him, put him and his family in prison until he paid it all. And some of the other servants went to the rich king and said, hey, the guy you forgave $1 million just threw one of our friends in jail for a day's wages. And he called the guy in and he says, well, you wretched slave, I had forgiven you so much. Shouldn't you have forgiven this guy just a little? And that's the way I want you to learn to live. The practical reality is each one of us has sin and lots of it. And the Lord Jesus has graciously forgiven us $1 million. It should be no problem for us to not judge and forgive other people the little bit that happens in the week. Remember Jesus died for them and accept them.